This is Evolutionary Radio. This is your host, Trevor Kuritz. And as always, my faithful co-host, Steve Smee, is joining me.
Hey, good evening, guys. How's everyone doing tonight?
We got another Canadian joining us today. Joining us on today's episode is Canada's newest classic physique IFBB pro, Isaac Bear, also known as the Big Bad Bear.
Yeah, that's me.
How's it feel, Isaac? I mean, it's been not even a week now. Has it sunk in? Or does it still feel like it's all a dream?
Yeah, it feels like it's a dream, man. Considering, like, when I was 18 years old, you know, I wanted to be a big, bad bodybuilder and wanted to be a professional athlete. So the fact that I made it here at 27 years old now is pretty surreal, man.
So, I mean, you've been training for a while. I've known you for quite a while. It's only in the last couple of years where your physique has really exploded. What have you been doing differently the last 2 years? Like, you kind of went from an average physique to a pro quality physique almost overnight. Like, you really have made a lot of progress the last 2 years. What have you been doing differently?
You know what? I really focused in my off season. Like, this year, 2018, I told myself January 1st hits, I'm going to do everything in my power to bring the best physique that I could, right? So in my off season, I dieted 100%. I trained 100%. You know, I did everything to a T to make sure I brought in the best package possible. And then I think at my age now, I'm a little older, like 27. So my body's ability to really put on some good quality muscle is, I'm finally at that point in my life, right? So I attribute it to that. And then, my new coach here, we did what's called DNA testing, and we really dialed down the foods that my body could utilize, you know, and it really brought out a crazy, crazy physique in me this year, which was actually unbelievable. So
Isaac, tell us a little bit about your background a little bit. Where are you from? How long have you been weight training? Where are you living now?
I'm from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. I started weight training at 18 years old. And I still live in Edmonton now. Did my first competition at 18 and did almost a show every year after that.
Give us your weight, height, things like that too.
I'm 5'10". Classic physique for my height and weight would be 205. So I weighed in at 204.7 this year. I just barely made the weight class. And I usually walk around 240 in my off season.
So, okay. Yeah. Okay. We were talking off air, you know, we were texting a little bit about this DNA testing. It sounds really, really interesting. So explain to us, like, what exactly is that? And then how do you get that done?
Well, I hooked up with a girl named Carmen Torchuk and Matt Clary, and she works for a DNA lab. And they take a skin swab of your cheek. They send it out. 2 weeks later, they send me a PDF file of my genetic makeup. And it basically breaks down, you know, what foods your body can use. We found out I'm lactose sensitive. I'm gluten sensitive. So we kind of based my foods around, not around those foods, right? So we found with gluten, it caused severe inflammation, caused severe weight gain, water weight, you know, with lactose, severe inflammation, weight gain. So once we pulled those foods out, I was generally just healthier. I felt better. It made training better and, you know, which made prep a lot easier, right? It's basically like taking a car, you know, yeah, it works good on regular fuel, but once you put premium in it, it's that much better, right?
What's the cost of getting something like that done?
The full DNA panel is $1,000, but they break it up into sections. There's four different sections. Like, you can do strictly the foods. You can do the hormone panel. There's a few other panels to choose from. I did it all because mostly I did it because I wanted to be healthy. I had chronic fatigue. I was always worn out, tired. And Matt, he found out I have high iron production and high ALT enzymes, which cause chronic fatigue. So he put me on the proper supplements to counterbalance that, which actually made me feel better in the long run, right? And then I obviously, when you get the DNA testing done, you need a coach who can incorporate that DNA testing into your plan. And we did that, and my physique just changed dramatically.
What else did you see in that DNA test besides that, that kind of surprised you?
My body doesn't like fats. It doesn't metabolize fats properly, which was surprising because every prep before that, we always incorporate a lot of fats, right? So I haven't touched a fat in, you know, months now besides omega-3s and, you know, stuff like that, right? But no peanut butters, no almond oils, no coconut oils, nothing like that, right?
So how was your pre-contest diet? Was it like high protein, moderate carb, lots of vegetables, very low fat?
Yeah, it was very, very high carb. And we found out my body doesn't need, you know, a super, super high level of protein to put on muscle. So most preps, I would be 8 or 9 ounces of protein, you know, slowly drop that down to 7, 6, 5. But we started my prep at 5 ounces of protein and kept it all the way through. And we skyrocketed the carb intake. Like I was at 500 grams of carbs for the longest time. And I barely did any cardio because the foods were so dialed in that it was, prep was easy. It was a blast this year.
So I'm just going to play devil's advocate here because $1,000 is a lot of money to drop on this test. Did you do anything else differently? Did you maybe change your drug cycle? Maybe you think it could have just been like getting older? Or do you really think the change in your physique was all to this DNA test and tailoring a plan directly to the results of this test?
No, it definitely wasn't just the test. I mean, that definitely helped. It helped in the health aspect of things. But I did carb cycling this year too. I've never done that. My previous preps I've done have been just less calories, more cardio, less calories, more cardio, right? And that's kind of the old school generic way of dieting for a bodybuilding show, right? But this way with the carb cycling, you know, it worked really well. I've never done it before. So that was probably one of the biggest things that helped out as well, right? And as for supplements, with the food being catered the way it was, I've actually ran the least amount of supplements I've ever ran in my life, you know, like very, very low doses of everything.
So are you in the best shape of your life now at 27? And do you plan on basically improving yourself over the next 5 or 10 years to get to a higher level? Or are you just content with being like, hey, I'm just going to mold what I have now?
No, I'm definitely, now that I won this pro card and the feedback I've been getting, like I'm allowed to add the 10 pounds to my weight class, right? So I'm going to go full bore into the Toronto Pro next year and take my physique as far as I can take it without going over the weight parameters that I'm given for classic physique. So I'm in great shape now, but I think a year from now, maybe 2 years from now, I'll be even better. And I think my physique will be, you know, top notch in 2 years. Because I've only been working with these guys now for about 20 months. So if I give a full year, 2 years, you know, I think it's going to be good. Yeah, it's going to be really good.
I can tell you guys just from texting Isaac off air, he's more motivated than ever. I mean, it's almost like you're that 16-year-old kid who's in the gym for the first time and like has never seen like a hammer strength piece of equipment before.
Oh man, 100%, like 110%. I was kind of lost in bodybuilding because I competed with Chris and Regan when in heavyweights, those guys, you know, back in 2015, and they both placed top three, and I got 15th. And at that point in my career, I was like, what am I doing in this sport? Like, I got 15th. I just got smoked, you know? And then as time went on, you know, now I won my pro card. I proved to myself that if you just stick with it and keep doing it because you love it, not because of the trophy, eventually you will be rewarded. And now that I won this pro card, I'm like, I'm motivated, man. I am that 16-year-old kid with his new bike ready to rock.
Do you ever train at the Glenora World Health? Have you ever worked out there?
Yeah, a few times, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was the first, like, real gym membership I got when I was 16. And before that, I was just working out in my basement, right? So it was just, like, a barbell, some dumbbells, like, a bench. And I remember walking in there, and it was, like, almost like it was like I went to Disneyland. Like,
man, 100%. I know that. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I literally spent 9 hours my first workout because I wanted to try every single machine.
And
every single cable I wanted to try. And I was like, I didn't even know like half those pieces of a cardio existed. Like, I didn't even know like you could get a rower. Or, like, there's 5 different types of ellipticals. Like, yeah.
Oh, man, I know exactly. Like, I grew up in a really, really small town outside Edmonton. And there was one little gym, you know, and then when I moved to Edmonton and I had all these gyms to choose from, my mind was blown.
So the first listener question we have is from Denna. And he says, here's a question for Isaac. How do you balance your work schedule with your training and eating? Often being in the trades, you may have a long day. So what is the key to being prepared to staying on track with your meals? What is your favorite routine with training, meal prep, and work? Example, work 9 to 5, train 6 to 7:30, meal prep 8 to 9.
You know, this might sound kind of lazy, but I find the biggest thing that helped me, because I'm a mechanical contractor. I do a lot of physical labor. You know, it's trade work, right? So I just hired a food prep guy, and he's been my food prep guy for about 4 years now. So getting my food prepped, weighed, and cooked, all I have to do is just thaw it out, which is saves me a hell of a lot of time than cooking every night, right? So the food prep definitely helps. And then working in the trades, I have a pretty good set schedule where I get a break every 3 hours. So I can eat my meal at 9 o'clock, eat my meal at 12, eat my meal at 3, you know, and then I just go train after work, right? I mean, I've been doing it for so long, it's just second nature. Working in the trades and doing the training and the food prep and all that stuff. So it's kind of hard to explain, you know, but I just do it. If you really love something, you just do it, you know, you make it work.
So, I mean, Isaac, to all the guys, you start doing this at 18. Talk a little bit about to the other guys who are, you know, 18, 19, 20, who want to follow in your footsteps. Did you go to college? Did you work, one or two jobs to kind of make it in bodybuilding? Or have you been able to kind of support yourself via bodybuilding, you know, through sponsorships and stuff? For any guys listening who are, you know, want to follow in your footsteps, is there a way to do it without having to work full time or part time?
I'm sure there is a way to do it without having to work. But I mean, with me, besides bodybuilding, I also, you know, I wanted a house, you know, I wanted a decent vehicle, so I had to work. So I did 4 years in school, and post-secondary education at college. And I always just, with that, it allowed me to, you know, have the money to buy 3 or 4 gym memberships and buy the supplements that I needed and pay for my hotels to travel to Vancouver to compete and stuff, right? So for a younger guy who wants to compete, you know, just to kind of depends where your mindset is at. If you want to do it full bore off the start, you know, you got to get money from somewhere to do it. Cause I've never had a sponsor. I've never been a supplement rep. I've never been a brand ambassador. I've always paid for all my own stuff. So if you're a younger guy, want to come up in the sport, like if you can get a sponsor to do it, you know, but if you can, yeah, you gotta work and you gotta make it work. Right.
And then now, are you still working or are you just doing the bodybuilding full time? Can you support yourself?
Still working. Yeah, I'm actually, that's why I was late for the call because I just got off work and I just checked my email right once Trevor said what's up. So yeah, I plan on working. I mean, obviously the dream is to do it full time and I would love to do that 100%. But you know, it's pro bodybuilding. It's not the NHL, right? So you got to put in your time even when you're a pro to make a living out of it, right?
the days of the 80s and the $100,000 magazine contracts, they're done, man.
I mean, yeah, well, exactly, right?
The reality is, unless you're Phil Heath or Jay Cutler, I mean, you're going to have a side job. But what you did is really smart, and this is what we always tell young guys, is that get an education, get a good job, do bodybuilding as a hobby, and then if it takes off, that's great, but at least you have a backup plan. Because let's say you're 18, you put all of your eggs into bodybuilding, you're doing really well, but then let's say at 21, you hurt yourself. What do you do then, right? You're basically screwed.
And that's exactly it, right? I mean, I'm fortunate enough, I've built a good base. You know, I got my house, I got my vehicle. Now I can really put all my effort into bodybuilding, right? You know, it would have been nice to win a pro card at 22 or 23. And I probably could have done it, like you said, if I put all my eggs in one basket. But I tried to do everything properly so that I could have a future in the sport without having to rely on a sponsorship, without having to rely on, you know, a GoFundMe page like a lot of these athletes are doing now, right? So I think I'm at a good point in my life where I can take it a little more serious and, you know, get to that Olympia stage one day, hopefully.
So Isaac, Steve and myself, we get questions on a daily basis from, you know, 18, 19-year-olds. They think once they become an IFBB pro, it's almost like the stars are going to align. They're going to have five different emails from Muscle Tech and Muscle Farm saying, we want to give you $100,000 sponsorship. Tell us, real world, like you just turned pro 4 days ago. How different is your life compared to when you weren't a pro?
You know what? It hasn't changed at all. The only difference is my Instagram name says IFBB Pro in it now.
Pretty much.
Pretty much. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I've gotten a lot of contacts from people saying, good job, you're doing well, we see you have a bright future in the sport. But as for my life changing, it's changed in the fact that I've reached a lifelong goal, like a dream that I had from when I was 18. That's changed. You know, I've reached my goal. But as for anything else, I'm still working my construction job, you know, still going to be paying my rent and all that stuff, right? Nothing's changed. Not yet, anyways. I hope it does.
You still have to pay taxes and stop at red lights.
Yeah, 100%, man. I'm just a normal dude.
So being 27, being Canada's newest IFBB pro, looking back, what are some things you could change and kind of tell that young Isaac first starting working out?
You know, I'm a firm believer in that everything happens for a reason, you know, and I don't know if I would have changed anything. I think what I would have changed is careers. I would have went into kinesiology and done that instead of the trades, but I'm kind of happy with where I'm at in my life and how things have panned out. I think I'm at a good age where, you know, my career can take off.
Steve, you have any questions for Isaac, or do you want me to keep going?
I mean, there is, I don't want this part on air, but if I could have changed, I would have hired a different coach at a younger age. Because I know with this new coach, he really brought out the best in my physique. But being me, I'm a pretty loyal person. So I had the same coach for years, and she was always like, oh, it's your genetics. You know, that's what's holding you back. You're one of those guys with great shape, but you can't put on lots of muscle. And I hired this new coach, and Matt was like, dude, your physique is like crazy. He's like, I can turn you into a pro, no problem. He's like, it's not your genetics. It's the coaching, right?
Which so I learned. What was the coach doing differently that kind of switched the light bulb on?
Segueing on Steve's topic, for, you know, maybe a young guy who's looking to get serious into bodybuilding, he's looking to hire his first coach. What should someone do when they're shopping for a coach? Like, what, in your opinion, dictates a good coach versus a bad coach?
A good coach versus a bad coach? I mean, obviously do your homework. See what titles they have won. See what kind of conditioning the athletes are coming in at. You know, see how the bikini girls look, how the figure girls look, how the bodybuilders look. There's a lot of good coaches out there who bring guys in shape. But into the show, you know, 10 weeks out, they're feeling like garbage. you know, they're flat, they're skinny, they're doing 85 minutes of cardio. Yeah, I mean, every coach is good in their own aspect. Like my previous coach, she was awesome. She's an IFBB pro. She did well. She taught me how to be a good bodybuilder. She taught me what it meant to sacrifice to get where you need to be, right? But as I grew up and I grew older, I learned there's different dieting techniques. There's ways of getting your metabolism healthy so you don't have to do all the drugs. You don't have to do all that cardio, right?
So can you be specific in terms of what you just said, in terms of diet and metabolism? What are some specific things that you changed that can help a lot of young guys listening to this improve?
Like what I changed now versus older coaches, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, like I said, the DNA testing really catered it down. I mean, the carb cycling was a big, big change compared to what I'm used to. And a different style of supplements that I've never ran before that worked out well, right? So, I mean, I could go on for hours and hours. I don't really want to bash my old coach because she already gave me shit.
No. You're not bashing her. You're just talking about what worked for your body, right? And when you're shopping for a coach, it's like car shopping, right? So let's someone sends an email to me, Steve, and Isaac inquiring about our coaching businesses. If they pick you, Isaac, that doesn't mean I'm a bad coach. That just means your personalities might sync a little bit better, right?
Exactly.
And it's everyone has a little bit different methods, different philosophies, different educations, different backgrounds. So if you work with me and then you want to try working with someone else, that's not a bash against me. You could drive a Toyota Camry. It could be the best car you ever drove, but maybe you want to try a Mercedes, right? That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with that Toyota Camry. If someone asked you your thoughts on that car, you'd say, hey, it was a great car. I highly recommended it. I just want to try something new.
And that's exactly it. Like I've had three coaches and every time I switch coaches, it was mostly to learn for myself because I do coach clients. I've coached a few clients who have won some shows. And it's all about just learning different techniques. You know, the old coaches taught me the difference between low calories, you know, high cardio. This new coach taught me how to carb cycle properly. You know, it's just each coach for me is a learning experience so that I can put that into my clients and coach them better, right? So it wasn't necessarily I'm switching coaches because they suck. It was I'm switching coaches because I want to learn more, you know.
Talk to us about the super supplements. What did you do differently this time? You said that you ran a different blend. What specifically did you run and how, when you say your body responded better, how did it respond better? Did you just feel less lethargic or did you just get better results? Like talk to us about that.
Yeah. So like with my high iron levels in my body, we balance that with a higher dose of calcium. You know, that makes you feel good. With the high ALT level, ALT enzymes, we actually donated blood and that helped me get rid of that lethargicness, which in general made me feel 100 times better. So my training was better. My just overall well-being was better. And we put me on supplements I've never even ran before, you know, more vitamin E, olive oil extract, you know, high dose, 2-lipoic acid, chromium picolate, you know, a bunch of different stuff. Really catered to just getting me healthy and getting the metabolism healthy, right? And once that was dialed in, like I didn't need to do 85, 90 minutes of cardio. I did 30 minutes of cardio starting 5 weeks out, which is, for me, is unheard of. I've never done that in my life, right?
When I said supplements, I meant drugs.
Okay, yeah, I'm not sure, like, if you wanted to say that or not, right?
No, you can talk about drugs openly on this podcast.
Yeah, like steroids, you mean?
Steroids, growth hormone, insulin, the holy trinity.
Should I talk about that? I don't know if like that's gonna look bad on me, like as a pro. Like I know a lot of pros don't talk about that stuff, right?
That's what people want to hear, man. If you're not comfortable talking about it, you can just say no comment. But most pros talk about drugs. You don't have to.
Really, though? I don't know. I don't want it to. I'm just a new pro, though. I don't want, like, a supplement company.
No, we know you're natty. Don't worry. We had, what's the guy's name?
I'm not natty, obviously, right? I just,
Who do we have, Trevor? We had a Mr. Olympia on.
We had Frank Zane on.
Frank Zane. And after we asked him about steroids, he got so pissed.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to talking about it. I just don't want someone to see this and be like, oh, well, it's all steroids and shit. You know how the industry is, right?
It's not all steroids, but it's a big part of it.
It's a huge part, right?
You don't have to talk about it, but I think part of the reason why bodybuilding now is not as popular as it once was is back in Arnold's day, no one really knew about steroids or knew that they were taking steroids.
Yeah. So you
look at those physiques, they would go, oh, wow, like that must take so much hard work. Like, look at how much muscle they have. Whereas now people know about steroids, so they think, oh, all that guy did was take steroids. Like they don't
realize how much work
it still takes. They're just like, oh yeah, Isaac's physique, I could take some Winstrol and I would look like that too. You got some fat guy.
Yeah, right.
Talk a little bit about that, Isaac, because the dirty secret is most people in a normal meathead gym are either on steroids or have taken steroids and they look like shit.
So
talk
100%.
A little bit about that, like your perspective on guys that you see in the gym, because I'm sure you work out at some big gyms, and obviously, you know, a lot of people there are juicing, especially up there in Canada, since it's kind of a gray area.
Yeah, I mean, there's guys all over on juice. Like you said, you'll see there'll be 30 guys in my gym that I know on steroids, but I'm the only guy who actually looks like he's on steroids, right? I mean, steroids are super, super popular, even among females. Like, females are on Anavar, you know, Primo, Clen, all that kind of stuff. But very rare do you see someone who looks the part too, right?
And why do you think that is?
Well, like Trevor said, you know, you got to put in the work. Steroids don't work for you unless you work for them, right? Like, I can stick all the needles in my arm that I want, but unless I'm in the gym training, eating, getting my sleep in, taking my supplements, they don't work, man. Like they don't work unless you do the work, right?
It's because we live in a quick fix society, right? What is the number one selling supplement, Isaac? What do you think it is?
Like actual supplements or like?
I'm talking like GNC supplements now.
Yeah, okay. pre-workout for sure, man. Like no, everyone.
Fat burners
and pre-workouts, you know, and everybody, like you said, they want that quick fix, and that's, you know, that's bullshit.
If it's a fat guy and he's trying to lose weight, oh, I'll just take a fat burner. It's that easy. I just take these two pills per day. If it's a skinny guy trying to gain weight, oh, I'll just buy some protein. I'll just take some protein.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. It's, you know, everyone wants to take that magic pill and lose that weight, but it don't work like that, man.
So on that, since Trevor brought up protein powder, since you said that you are intolerant to lactose, I'm assuming you don't take protein powder, correct? Or do you take isolate? Like,
I'm not intolerant to lactose. I have lactose sensitivity. So you just got to find a super clean, super good whey. Like everyone thinks whey protein is whey protein, right? But it's not. There's different quality of proteins out there that you can use, right? Some are cleaner, some are filtered more. So right now I just use the Optimum Nutrition whey. I mean, the flavor isn't the greatest, but it worked the best for me, right? So.
Question I have for you, Isaac, is why are you not with a supplement company as a brand ambassador, a sponsored athlete? Have you just not had the opportunity, or do you just not, or you just don't feel it's worth the effort?
You know what? I've never even been asked. I was asked by one company a few months ago, and I tried their supplements out. And when I read their labels, they had 6 grams of sugar per one scoop of whey. And, you know, the average person takes 2 scoops of whey protein. That's 12 grams of sugar. Like, I may as well go eat a chocolate bar. And I'm a firm believer that if I don't like the product, I'm not going to promote it, right? And I dropped them, and that was it. I've never been approached. I've never even been asked because I don't have 100,000 Instagram followers, right? Only just recently did I gain from 3,000 to 8,000 just because I won my pro card, you know?
it's sad that social media plays such a big role now. Because, I mean, you can have someone like you, who's a hardworking guy. He's working 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, then going to the gym. You know, like, I mean, you're a guy who's got a full-time job and you're balancing bodybuilding. No one really knows about you. But then you have some chick who's...
Oh, man.
She takes 3 or 4 Instagram photos a day. She has 500,000 followers, and she's just living off of her supplement sponsorships.
Dude, I hate that. Like, like you said, I work a shift. I work 10 days straight, and I get 4 days off. So I work 10 hours a day. I bust my ass, you know. And I feel I do have, like, a world-class... I don't want to sound cocky, but I feel like I do have a world-class physique, you know. And it does suck. I see a girl who posts 3 selfies, has 200,000 Instagram followers, and gets paid, where there's a guy like me who busts his ass, who works hard, and I got nothing, you know. But I don't mind that either. Like, I don't mind being the underdog, you know. I don't mind working my ass off to get where I need to go. It doesn't bother me, right? I'm not jealous of these people, you know, because I know one day if I work hard enough, I will get somewhere. Someone will notice me and want to take me on and help me out, right? So it's only a matter of time.
Steve, what are your thoughts on this? This is something we've talked about off air quite a bit. I mean, Steve's a little bit older than us, so he was before this whole social media era.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem with social media is that anyone can just go on there and be anonymous. And, you know, there's a lot of, anyone can just post pictures and Photoshop them and stuff. So you're not getting the authentic person. So a lot of it is clickbait. A lot of it is just like getting attention and, you know, let's get popular off doing something stupid. Like Vitaly. Do you know Vitaly? He's a YouTube guy. He's got millions of followers on YouTube, and he got popular from doing stupid shit, from like streaking at the World Cup, streaking at the Super Bowl, doing stuff like that. And he got tons of followers. And then he came out with a supplement, which is complete bullshit, and it sold out, you know, and the guy doesn't even lift or anything. So, you know, it's one of those things where, it is what it is, but it's so watered down now that, if you didn't start years ago, it's not going to even matter at this point. So
yeah,
I just stay away from it. I'd rather, you know, not even get involved in social media. It's just a bunch of people with different opinions. And I think it's not even worth my time. So, but Trevor, you know, Trevor's doing well, you know, with his social media. He's getting a lot of work and stuff, and hey, you know, good for him. I got nothing against it.
Though, Steve, like, I make like 1 or 2 posts a day. Like, I'm actually busy doing stuff. Like, I don't have time to Instagram story every single meal and like Instagram story.
Well, that's exactly it. I work a full-time job. People are like, why don't you post more? You know, why don't you do this more? I'm like, man, I don't have time to sit there and record every meal and post every workout and take a selfie at the perfect angle all day. Like, I'm a regular dude who, you know, yeah, I'll do 1 or 2 posts just because I have 5 minutes to spare, right?
The sick thing is, some of these YouTube guys who have so many followers, every video they post, they're making thousands of dollars off that video. It's just, it's really crazy, you know?
And as Joe Rogan would say, the best thing to ever happen is social media, because it gives everyone a voice. But the worst thing to ever happen is social media, because it gives everyone a voice, you know? So there's good and bads to it, right? But
that's the problem with the internet, is that there's no editor, right? Anyone can go and publish something. And you know firsthand how much bro science there is, not just about working out, but especially steroids.
Yeah.
And I see some of these articles, and like, people, I guess, assume, like, people come to me assuming like I'm a credible guy. And they'll send me this article and they'll be like, hey, what do you think about this? And I'm like, oh my goodness, like, it's completely wrong. Like, this guy doesn't know pharmacology at all. Like, he's calling like Carterin a steroid, or he's calling like clenbuterol a steroid, or like, it's just like completely wrong. Like, it actually scares me, because people can actually seriously hurt themselves when
100%, man. Well, like, the stuff I read, I'm just blown away. I'm like, do people actually believe in that garbage, you know?
Well, like, one big misconception is if you're using oral steroids, you don't need a PCT. And I'm just I'm like, steroids are steroids. Whether you're shoving a needle in your butt or you're taking it orally, like, it's still a steroid. Like, yeah, you need to run a PCT.
Oh, 100%.
People assume, like, because they're not using a needle, it's not as bad. And what's even scarier is luckily pro-hormones are illegal now, but, you know, you have this 18-year-old guy. He's interested in using steroids. He's way too young for using steroids. That's a different topic. So instead of buying some tests and shoving a needle in his butt, which would cause side effects, but at least it's not going to cause horrible side effects, he goes and buys some pro-hormones, which are like the most liver toxic things you can possibly put in your body, and like does a total number on his health. But he doesn't even think he's taking steroids because he bought it over the counter at some supplement store.
Yeah, 100%, man.
It's getting scary.
Oh, super scary. Like, I've had a few friends, you know, hurt themselves pretty bad in the sport. I refer to steroids like Tylenol. Tylenol has a recommended dose. If you do it right, you'll be okay. Versus if you abuse your Tylenol, you're going to hurt yourself. You know, just like steroids, if you do a proper dose, you know, you get your blood work done, you'll be fine. But as soon as you abuse it, you can cause damage, right?
So, Isaac, we got a listener question for you. He wants to know what a day of meals looks like for you. So I know you carb cycle. You can just do, like, let's say a medium day. And you don't have to get in specifics. Like, you don't have to say, like, weights and everything. Just, like, let us know, like, what meal one looks like, meal two, meal three, things like that.
Well, for I carb cycle for contest prep. Off season, it's not as much carb cycling because the carbs are super high. But for my prep, we would do 3 low carb days, then we would do 2 medium days, and then 2 high days. So on a low carb day, I would wake up, 80 grams of casein, 2 ounces of oats. That's meal one. Meal two on the low carb day was just 10 ounces of veggies, 8 ounces of chicken. Because when we would have a lower carb day, we'd have a little bit higher protein levels, right? So then meal three was the same, 10 ounces of green beans, 8 ounces of protein. Pre-workout was just the option of 8 ounces of chicken or 80 grams of whey. Post-workout on the low carb day was again green beans, chicken, and then before bed, next meal, meal six, was 2 ounces of oats and 80 grams of casein. But that's like low end of, you know, that's not much food, just a high level of protein. But then when we went to a high carb day on my weekends, the high carb day would consist of 4 ounces of oats in the morning with 50 grams of casein. The next meal would be 10 ounces of rice, 5 ounces of chicken. Meal three was 10 ounces of rice, 5 ounces of chicken. Pre-workout would be 10 rice cakes and 50 grams of whey. And then post-workout on the high-carb day would be 75 grams of raw unpasteurized honey, 12.5 ounces of rice, 5 ounces of chicken. And then before bed, meal six again was 4 ounces of oats and 50 grams of casein. So that would be the high-carb day. So there are two pretty drastic changes in food volume and carb intake and protein intake. But that cycling, you know, that kind of cycling worked well for my body for sure.
You're probably pretty hungry on the low-carb days, hey?
You know what? It wasn't too bad. It wasn't bad, man, you know, compared to previous preps. On my previous preps, I would be I'd be jonesing for that chocolate bar, you know, and that, you know, that next meal. But the higher carb days, you're eating food throughout the day, such a high volume, it kind of satisfied those cravings for 4 or 5 days, you know, which really helped. So that was good.
I mean, how many days per week were you working out?
You know, I'm a firm believer now in rest days. You know, your body doesn't recover unless you're resting, unless you're sleeping, right? A lot of younger guys I see doing preps, they're training every day, full bore, you know, 100%, which can have reverse side effects, you know, negative side effects for weight loss and muscle gain. So my training schedule was 3 days on, one day off, no cardio, no weights, just relaxing and letting my body recuperate. So it'll be three on, one off, three on, one off.
That's really smart. And that's something that as you get older, you realize the importance of rest. Because I'm sure being 18, you're like, rest days, that's for pussies.
Oh, dude, yeah. Like I've done preps where 16 weeks cardio every day, weights every single day, not one rest day till the show. And then even after the show, when you need to rest, still in the gym, still training 100%. Like, and now that I'm older and more educated, I'm like, damn, man, like, what am I doing? Rest days are so, so important. It's crazy.
What I always try to do is that rest days suck, right? Rest days are the worst day of the week. So what I do is I make that day the day I get groceries, I do meal prep, I do laundry. You know, I do all those things you have to do so that the day flies by. Because otherwise, you're just like, oh, man, this sucks. I want to go to the gym so bad.
Well, and that's, you know, for me, the gym isn't just, oh, I'm going to go smash weights and get huge. It's therapeutic. You know, it's therapy for me. It helps me relax. It helps me calm down. I sleep better. So on my rest days now, I play golf. As counterintuitive as that sounds, you know, a big dude playing golf doesn't seem like it works out well. But yeah, on my rest days, I try and play golf. It's a little bit of exercise and it keeps me calm too, right? So
how do you guys play golf up there during the winter?
It's winter golf.
It's funny. I actually have a virtual golf indoor course right near my house. So in the winter, I'll go, you know, hit a few balls in there. But during the winter, I don't play near as much golf. I'll probably just train on my rest days. So
what else do you like to do, Isaac? You know, like, tell us a little bit about like your hobbies and besides golf. What are some things that bodybuilders do? I would have never guessed that a bodybuilder play golf. I think that's the first time a bodybuilder ever said they play golf. So what are some other things you like to do?
A lot of people are like, dude, how do you swing a golf club? And when I was younger, I actually played national level golf before I got into bodybuilding. So that's kind of why I keep doing it. But on my days off, you know, when I'm not playing golf and I'm not in the gym, I read quite a bit. You know, I try and read as much on the nutrition side of things and the steroid side of things. Just always keep my brain going and keep educated. Because like Trevor said, there's so much shit on the internet that's false and wrong. You know, I try and find the right stuff out there, even though it's hard, because I'll read something and think it's true, and then I'll read the next article and it's completely wrong, right? So... And I also work like a lot. I work like some pretty crazy hours. I don't get much downtime. So on my downtime, it's just golf and reading and watching movies with my girlfriend, man.
Since you're on the trades, are you burning a lot of calories from your work?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. It's it definitely helps with prep. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's not like you have a desk job where you're just on your ass all day. So that's.
Yeah. That's like. Different. 2 weeks out from my show, I was up on a 12-foot ladder with a blowtorch heating up copper pipes. Like, people are like, how do you do that, man? I'm like, man, I just love bodybuilding, so I'll do whatever it takes to come in on stage and do it properly. You know, there's been times where I've been digging dirt out on the job site 2 days out of a show, right? Water loading, running to the bathroom every 20 minutes. And, you know, just like I said, if you love something enough, you just do it. You make it work, right?
And then if you weren't natty, you'd be going to the bathroom to do your insulin in between shots. But we know you're
natty. Yeah, 100%, man.
So, Isaac, we have about 5 minutes left, and this is a perfect segue for our last question. They want to know, what are you most excited about being a new IFBB pro?
What am I most excited about?
The pussy. All the pussy that I'm going to be throwing at you. No, I'm kidding.
I got a girlfriend right now, so definitely not that. But you know what, man? I'm excited to prove to people that I meant to be here, you know? Because I was like, everyone's like, where did you come from? You came out of nowhere and you won the overall in Vancouver, won the pro card. 12 hours later, you stepped on the pro stage and placed top 5 in a pro show. Like, everyone was like, that's almost never been done before, you know, and these pros have a 10-pound weight limit on me. So I'm excited to prove to everyone that I deserve to be a pro, and I'm ready to do it. You know, I'm gonna bring the heat this year and prove everyone wrong that I wasn't just some shoe-in, you know, some random guy off the street, right? So
that's cool, man. And then you mentioned your girlfriend. What does she think about your bodybuilding? Does she love going to watch you, or is she kind of?
She loves it. She competes too. Yeah, she took fourth in the Vancouver Pro-Am. She took second place at the Edmonton CPA show. So yeah, she's all for it, man. I mean, she's down. She's whatever I got to do, she supports it, right? So that's good.
Having a good woman in your corner makes a big, big difference.
Oh, yeah.
My advice for you, man, is keep grinding. You're going to get the recognition you deserve. It's like that age-old saying, the truth always comes out. Hard work will always be rewarded. Right now, I know it's frustrating. We're looking at these Instagram celebrities who do nothing and have 200,000 followers, but there's the flavor of the month, right? It's kind of like 5 years ago, Facebook was the biggest thing, and now no one's really on Facebook anymore.
Yeah.
The same thing's going to happen with Instagram, man. In 5 years, it's going to be something new. It's going to be called, like, who knows, right?
But exactly.
And then all these people with 200,000 followers, no one's going to care anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, keep grinding, and people love a good success story, you know, someone who just came from nothing and worked their way up. And if you think about, like, all the best bodybuilders, you know, Jay Cutler, all those sorts of guys, they, just like you, man, they were either farm boys, they were working the trades, they were working hard, and they just worked their way up.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. I'll keep doing what I do, and, you know, I know if I put in the work, I'll get there, man, 100%.
So for our listeners, give Isaac a follow. Follow him on social media. He's a good guy. He's a young guy. He's just starting. He's got a bright career ahead of him. Do you have a website or anything like that, Isaac?
No, not yet. And that's, you know, that's another thing. Everyone's like, you got to get a YouTube page. You got to get a, you know, a fan book page on Facebook. So I'm in the works of doing all that. Like I said, I'm just a regular guy who loves bodybuilding, man. So this is all new to me. So it's going to take me a little while to kind of build on this. I'm going to use this momentum to hopefully get my name out there. And yeah, so it's all in the works, man.
I'll be in Edmonton over Christmas. We'll get a workout in for sure.
Yeah, man, 100%.
That'll be the only time someone will see me do an Instagram story documenting every exercise.
I've never even done that. You know, I'm terrible for taking videos.
For me, the gym is my therapy. I'm like you. Like, I wake up to 100 emails. My phone is always going off. So for me, the gym is the one time where I throw my phone in the locker room, and that's 90 minutes where I just turn my brain off.
Yeah, and that's exactly with me, man. I just go and train, and I don't know how these guys have time to set their phones up, set their lights up, and take all these pictures. And I know a lot of guys do it for Instagram because obviously they're getting paid and sponsors. But for me, I just put my headphones in and train, and that's how it's always been.
I want to see a video of both you and Edmonton training outdoors over Christmas. That would be fun. You can do the Rocky IV scene, like carrying logs on your heads and stuff.
I'm a bodybuilder. You think I got cardio to do that? No, I got enough cardio to lift weights, and that's it. Carrying logs and stuff, I would die for sure.
For your host, Trevor Kritzen, for my co-host, Steve Smee, and for our special guest, Canada's newest IFBB Classic Physique Pro, Isaac Baer. This has been another episode of Evolutionary Radio. Live your life, look good doing it. Thanks for listening. Thank you.